What happens when we face difficult conversations? These conversations can heal. They can foster forgiveness. They can inspire and change perspective. Lean into these stories and discussions. I think both our guests and our listeners will find value in them. And selfishly, I know I will too. All right, everybody, welcome back to this episode of Lean In with Dr. Jabron Pasha. I'm Jabron Pasha, and I'm here with another great guest, Dr. Ryan Meyer, who is an internal medicine doctor like myself, and also he is the president-elect of the American College of Physicians. And I'm going to let him tell you a lot more about what ACP, as it's known, is about. But it is an organization that I've been a part of. I've gained a lot from being a part of it, and I'm ecstatic that Dr. Meyer, Ryan, is going to be leading this organization this year. So with all that being said, Dr. Meyer, welcome to Lean In. Thanks for making some time. I know you are busy.
Well, it is an honor and a privilege to be here today. And thank you for doing your podcast and elevating a lot of topics to the community, not just in medicine, but just in life. I think you've done a fantastic job and congratulations on your second season with the podcast. So thank you for having me as a guest. So first of all, I would just like to say it has been an honor and a privilege to be elected as president-elect for the American College of Physicians, which is an organization that represents internal medicine physicians and subspecialists with internal medicine, not only in the United States, but across the globe. We have 161,000 members, and we're located as far as chapters in 145 different countries around the world. So internal medicine is a strong force in healthcare, not just nationally, but internationally. I think it is a true privilege and honor to be elected to a position of this stature, and I don't take that for granted and definitely don't take it lightly.
Yeah. So it's, I believe, the second largest physician organization in the world, correct? Yeah, 160,000 members.
That is correct. It's actually the second largest professional medical organization, but it's the largest specialty organization as we focus just on internal medicine physicians. And it includes physicians that are in practice. It includes those who are in training for internal medicine and even medical students who have a strong and profound interest in internal medicine.
Wow. So both the organization and your incoming role as president is both very well respected by the medical community and non-medical community alike. One question I have is, how did you position yourself to get this opportunity? It's a big deal.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say I positioned myself. I think I got involved with ACP very early on in my career as an intern and presenting an abstract case presentation. And it was an interesting case that I was involved in as an intern, and I was just sort of encouraged to present this case for as a teaching moment to share with other trainees, not just at my institution, but just nationally. And the mentorship that I had in sort of developing this scholarly activity of creating an abstract and presenting it and creating a poster presentation was just phenomenal because I had never done anything like that. And I had so much guidance and constructive feedback, criticism, encouragement from senior ACP leaders. And when I look back on it, I felt like that opportunity gave me a boost at my professional development and breaking outside of just the clinical space, but doing something scholarly that I had never done before. And I just felt gratitude for others investing in me and helping me with my professional development. And so I always wanted to stay involved with this organization from that moment to the current time in order to give back to it, since it gave so much to me during that time. And so I've been involved locally from a resident in private practice. I became locally involved with my chapter in Tennessee. I ran for an office and was elected to a national committee, which was the Council of Early Career Physicians early on in my career, and then stayed actively involved with ACP to become a member of the Board of Regents. and then ultimately elected as president-elect to serve in a leadership role. But none of it was a plan or goal. I mean, as I got closer, I realized it was something that potentially was attainable, but I never set out to be president of the AZP, never really saw myself to be in this role and in this position when I started being involved.
Yeah. So ACP is not a young organization. I think you mentioned earlier to me that it's 100 and how many years old?
Yeah, it's 107 years old as of this year.
Wow. And, you know, it's hard for me to have these conversations and not talk about kind of some deeper issues, right? And for me, I'm not used to seeing a black man in this role. How many black presidents has ACP had over its 107-year lifespan?
Yeah, that's an interesting topic. At the current time, obviously, I will become the fourth black president to serve in this leadership role as president of the ACP when I start my term on May 1st. They have had three black physicians to come before me, and Dr. Gerald Thompson, Dr. Charles Francis, and Dr. Wayne Raleigh preceded me in creating some opportunities and space eventually for me to have this opportunity. So I'm very grateful and thankful for them paving the way. But in 107 years, I'm just the fourth black president to take on this role. And, you know, when we're still counting in single digits, it just lets us know we have a long way to go as far as creating opportunity even for others to get to this position and be candidates for such leadership.
Yeah, I think that's a great segue in terms of creating opportunity. And I'm sure you might oppose my comment here about how you have done so much to create opportunities for others, especially those that look like you, myself included. I mean, I remember our first contact was when you reached out to me on LinkedIn just because you saw I was involved in ACP. And that connection has led to several opportunities that I can think of off the top of my head right now and probably more. Let's talk a little bit about mentorship. It's clearly something that you prioritize.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm a private practice internal medicine physician, and, you know, my resume is not built on research and papers. My CV is not sort of filled with a lot of academia, so to speak. And I've had some great milestones and awards and things of that nature and recognition, but to me, the biggest value that I feel I have made as a contribution is in touching lives and helping others to be lifted up, to be encouraged, to give them opportunity, to show them that if I'm in a position that I have succeeded in, and I use succeeded very loosely, I want to help create a vision and allow someone else to see themselves that they can make it to, and they can get to that position if that's something they aspire to be. So I really take a lot of pride in touching lives. And when I say touching lives, I don't mean physical touch. I mean in a more of a humanity way of showing encouragement, mentorship, sponsorship, appreciation, congratulations, empathy to others. And I think sometimes when we just show someone else we care about them, that is more impactful than a research paper or presenting a case. It's touching a life that may not have been touched, and it may have been touched in other ways. But if I feel I can make an impact on someone else, to me, that is my greatest reward. And so mentorship has always really been a part of my perspective on life, not just in medicine, but just in life in general. So,
yeah. What would you say makes a good mentor?
Well, I think to me, a mentor should be someone who's willing to give of themselves and not for their own personal ego, and not for someone to always say, oh, it was my mentor who got me here, or it's my mentor who helped me. It shouldn't be about the mentor, but it actually should be about the person or people that the mentor is serving, right? So I just don't think many in medicine would be where they are today without someone affecting them, touching them on the shoulder, or helping them along the way through mentorship. So I think the biggest quality of a mentor is somebody who wants to give of themselves. I want others to succeed, and even beyond my capabilities, I want to help in any way possible lift someone else up and get them to their goal. You know, there's a quote that I have always enjoyed reading from author Ash, and he said, "From what we get, we make a living. What we give, however, we make a life." And I do feel that giving to others is, to me, the most important thing that I can do it at the end of the day to leave a legacy behind of impacting someone else's life.
You know, I've always felt that there's nothing more selfless than giving your time to something, right? And I remember the first time that we ever really communicated, other than, you know, a message here or there, you literally said, "What's your number?" And you picked up the phone and called me. And that's just so rare in 2022 now. That was back in 2021, maybe 2020. You pick up the phone and called me. And I remember, you know, and we talked for a while, like maybe an hour. We talked for about an hour. And I when I got off the phone, I looked at my wife and I said, "You won't believe who I just spoke with." And that just, that really meant a lot. And I've seen similar selflessness in you towards others. And I know that the work that you're putting in to help create opportunity and foster opportunities for others is paying off.
Well, I appreciate that. And like I said, you know, it's not, I don't do it because I want some type of, you know, congratulatory or thank you. I do it just because I feel it's important. And we all know, I mean, there's a very low percentage of Blacks in medicine in general, like practicing physicians is 5%. But then we take that even deeper and just look at Black men in medicine, we're looking at around 2.5%. So it's not very often that sometimes you will see someone that looks like you in this field of medicine. And so when I see that I can at least reach out to be support, so someone doesn't feel like they have to navigate this system on their own. I don't know. I didn't know when I reached out to you what type of support you had. You could have had, you know, 15 mentors that helped you along the way. I didn't know that. My job was, or my goal was just to say, "Hey, man, congratulations. I see what you're doing. I want to be here for you. If you need help along the way, I'm here. And here's my number. And here we are." And we've become friends and along the way. And so, you know, I think of our relationship, Jabron, as being more of a friendship. And, you know, you didn't come to me directly and say, "Ryan, I want you to be my mentor." It just developed organically. And sometimes it happens that way. And then other times mentorship is more intentional. You know, there's a formality about approaching someone if there's something that you're trying to achieve or a goal. But sometimes mentorships are just organic and they develop. And I think that's really the way it was when we first connected. I just wanted to say, "Hey, I'm available to you, however that may be." And it's just grown from there. And along the way, I have been able to, you know, hopefully provide insight, perspective, friendship, and mentorship. But more importantly, I think we have to eventually get from mentorship to sponsorship. And sponsorship is creating opportunities. It's one thing for me to guide you, Jabron, and give you advice. But taking it to the next level is say, now that I've guided you, let me put you in a position where you can shine. Let me give you an opportunity to showcase your talent and showcase yourself. And sponsorship, a lot of times, is about moving out the way, right? And getting out the way. I've had my turn. I've had my chance. Let me put someone else in the limelight so they can shine.
Wow. Yeah, that's super important. And I actually haven't ever heard it put like that, but it makes perfect sense. You know, one thing that I've learned in our interactions and just observing is your leadership. And you are going to transition in, I believe, in May to president of ACP, and the spotlight of leadership is going to shine on you even more brightly. How do you prepare for that? What types of things have prepared you to demonstrate the leadership on this really international stage that it's going to be as president of ACP?
Yeah, that's a very good question. And actually, there's a lot of depth that comes with that question, because I think first, it depends on what you're leading, right? What type of organization you're leading. And I'll just sort of focus on ACP. ACP is a membership organization. And, you know, as upcoming president, I lead the organization, but I don't run the organization. The organization is run by the members that I serve. Our policy is driven by grassroots efforts of members who see concerns and crisis in healthcare that they want to change. And those resolutions come through a process up to leadership, and leadership is very involved with implementing policy, but it's a membership organization. So I think, first of all, when you're leading, you have to know what type of organization that you're leading. And if it's a membership organization, you have to understand that you are there to serve the members that actually pay dues and create this American College of Physicians organization to be what it is. Now, having said that, I do think that over the years in serving in leadership roles, one of the biggest lessons that I've learned is that especially when you have an organization that has a large tent, so to speak, we serve a large constituency from medical students to trainees to physicians in practice to subspecialists to primary care. We have a large umbrella, right? And when you have a large constituency, I think the biggest key for leadership is understanding that as a leader, decisions will not make every single member happy, right? But if you can make a policy that is in the best interest of the membership and of the organization, I think as a leader, you can sleep well at night. And the second, I guess, lesson that I've learned along the way is that policy and decisions don't always have to be unanimous for consensus. I think it just has to be consensus enough that all parties and stakeholders can live with, right? Everybody who sits at that table and has a differing opinion or a differing insight or a differing perspective, let's come to agreement of a policy that we all can live with. It doesn't have to be unanimous, you know, because once again, we serve a large umbrella of stakeholders and members in this organization.
Yeah. So speaking of, you know, policies and things along that line, do you have, I don't know if you would call it a platform or anything that you could mention about what are your hopes for to bring to ACP, to get out of ACP for us, for the members this coming year?
Yeah, so great question. And, you know, I'm still in president-elect role, so I do want to respect the president who is still in office. But at the same time, I give you some insight on what I vision during my term. You know, the first is about the patient, right? And, you know, as a physician, we always have to be patient-centered and putting our patients at the core of what we do and what we do with policy, what we do with legislation, what we do with decision-making, what we do with patient care. The patient has to be first. And in that, I do feel the United States, we have some ways to go. So my overarching vision is to promote and really enhance healthcare to be more accessible, that everyone can have access to healthcare, that healthcare can be more equitable. So not only having the healthcare, but having the same resources and getting sort of getting to a point where we're all on the same playing field with resources. And then finally, having quality care. So I think healthcare being accessible, healthcare being equitable, and then having quality healthcare for our patients is my overarching vision. Now, how we get there, I think, is in the weeds. And there are certain aspects that I think my year will consist of as far as promoting. Number one is just getting to the foundation and fundamentals of why we do what we do. Why did we go into medicine? And that's bringing humanity back into the field of medicine. You know, medicine can be clouded sometimes with, you know, reimbursement and quality payment programs. But at the end of the day, it's about taking care of the patient. And care, the word care, has to be a human connection. It has to involve humanity. It has to involve empathy. There's a lot involved more than just, you know, a blood pressure number or a blood sugar number. So getting back to that foundation, I think, is important to help achieve that overall mission. The second thing is, you know, identifying why internal medicine provides value to the healthcare system. I think we can do a better job in promoting the specialty so patients, stakeholders, government, insurance can understand the true value of this profession of internal medicine and what it provides and contributes to the healthcare system. And third, I think, would be collaboration. ACP has done a great job in understanding that we cannot do this alone. Even with 161,000 members, we can't do this alone. We have to collaborate with other organizations and other like minds to have a bigger voice and have more of a powerful stance, so that way we can impact policy in a much more effective way in numbers. And ACP has done a great job in that, but I want to continue that. I want to foster that even further. I want us to become collaborative with other organizations that we haven't traditionally been collaborative with. So I do think that with humanity and improving and increasing our value to internal medicine and collaboration, we can help achieve that overall mission that I talked about, which is accessible, equitable, and quality healthcare.
Wonderful. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there,
but no, it's okay, man. Look, I think I'm in for being on the spot for the next 365 days of the year. So no time to start other than now.
Needless to say, I'm excited to watch you lead this organization over the next year. I'm excited to have a small part in this organization, hopefully for a long time. And I just want to thank you for not just what you've done for me, but what you've done for people who have historically not been able to achieve some of the things that you and I have been able to achieve. It's important for me to learn and watch how you kind of move in this world. And I've been able to, I think, take a lot from that. So thank you not only for that, thank you for your time today. I look forward to our relationship growing. And I agree, like, it has become more of a friendship. You're probably a little too young for me to say you're like an uncle, but you've been like a brother to me. And it's meant a lot. So, again, Dr. Ryan Meyer, President-elect for ACP, thanks again for stopping in to chat with us on Lean In today.
It's been my pleasure, and I thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak candidly today and really raise the issues with your podcast. You know, Jabron, I mean, you've given me some congratulatory sentiments and praise, but I want to put it back on you and thank you for your leadership, because you're leading in academic medicine in your state. You're leading in on a national level with ACP being on the National Council of Early Career Physicians. So, man, I see you on the rise. And, you know, my goal is not to get you where I am. My goal is to get you to even surpass me. I mean, that gives me joy just to see the great work and the leadership that you're doing. So I just want to make sure that your audience knows that it's not just about this podcast, that you're making an impact in healthcare locally and nationally. And I thank you for that.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind words.
Let me know your thoughts about this episode. I'm easy to reach on Twitter at Jabron Pasha, on Instagram at What Medicine Did, and on unlockingimplicitbias.com. Thanks for leaning in with me.